Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Hello and welcome to the Transfer Rumour Mill here on Love Sport Radio. You're with me, Johnny Burrow, and I've got a sensational raft of rumours to talk you through. As ever, here on the Transfer Rumour Mill, we're not just talking about gossip, we're not just talking about speculation, we're trying to get to the bottom of which pieces of speculation could actually have a bit of truth in them. With that in mind, could Manchester United's Belgian striker Romelu Lukaku be off on his way to Italy, Inter Milan? Specifically, we'll be asking Rich Hall, who's chief correspondent for Football Italia and also Love Sport's Italian football correspondent to boot. Kieran Trippier could be on his way to Italy as well. He could be joining Maurizio Sarri at Juve, if we're believing the Daily Star. Let's just keep in mind that Sarri is still the Chelsea boss, right? Before we get ahead of ourselves. And also, Everton have apparently made a £24 million bid for Roma winger Cengiz Under. Now, this is a deal, I believe. I'm going to get into this in more depth later in the show. But Under has been a very highly rated player since his teenage years. 24 mil sounds like a bargain to me. It sounds like a bargain to such an extent that it might be an unrealistically low fee. But if Everton can get him for that kind of amount, I think they'll have a real star on their hands. And Tottenham, of course, it's not been a great week for Spurs, let's be honest. Not just the fact that they lost in that all-English Champions League final in Madrid on Saturday night, but the fact that they didn't really turn up. And speaking to Spurs fans, they're not so much disappointed only with the fact that they didn't turn up, but that, if we're honest, Liverpool didn't turn up either. Neither team was brilliant. There's a real feeling at Spurs of what might have been, of perhaps a missed opportunity. But make no mistake, this current squad, specifically this current manager, still represent the biggest opportunity of all for Tottenham. They've got one of the great footballing minds currently operating in charge of their club. And the point now is that they haven't spent any money for the past couple of years. They've got to. They've got to invest. They've got to recognise that this moment is absolutely huge for Spurs. It's stick or twist. It's not just, oh, well, we either improve this year or we don't. It's in the next 18 months, Tottenham take the step up to elite super club level or they regress completely. Now, that might sound hyperbolic, but it's true because if they don't strengthen, if they don't improve in areas, if they don't add depth, let's bear in mind that squad was incredibly thin this season. Pochettino, particularly towards the back end of things, was having real problems with fitness. It's not just that they'll be treading water. It's that their star men and, by the way, their manager are going to look at the fact that they're treading water and say, well, I'm wasting my time. I'm wasting my time. They're going to look at their international teammates. They're going to look at other clubs in the league winning silverware, winning trophies. They'll start looking abroad as well in the case of Harry Kane, by the way. And so, you know what? I love Tottenham. I love Pochettino, but I need to win things. With that in mind, is Pochettino going to get the backing? That is the big question. I'm going to be joined by Jamie Brown of the Daily Hotspur. We know that they've already had bids rejected for Real Betis's exciting Argentine playmaker Giovanni Lo Celso and Lyon's Tanguy Ndombele, but they apparently also want Celta Vigo's Maxi Gomez and Fulham's Ryan Sessegnon. That's if we believe the Daily Mirror. And by the way, we should. The reason why we should is not because the Mirror's reporting is consistently excellent, consistently reliable in terms of transfer rumours. It's because the biggest indicator that a deal has actually got legs, and I'm saying this from a serious year's wasted youth of just watching this transfer market tick over, the biggest indicator is that the rumour won't go away. And in the case of both of those deals, we've been hearing it for weeks, we've been hearing it for months. There is sustained interest. I will not be surprised if we see either of those happen. We're also hearing, of course, that Sarri could be out the door. But to be honest, whether or not these players sign for Tottenham, the most exciting thing for Spurs fans should be that they all have one thing in common, and that's age. They are all, to a man, below the age of 24. There's an average age there of roughly 21 of the players they're rumoured to be interested in. That's fantastically exciting. It's not that they're not ready. These players. They're all quality. They could all step into that Spurs team. They're all ready for Premier League football. But if you buy young, there's two potential things that can happen there. Well, there's three. If we want to be negative, the third is that they're not good enough and they flop. But if you do your research, you get it right, two things happen. Either you sign a gem and you've got his service for years. You have him for the best years of his career. He can play you for 8-9 years. A fantastic piece of business. Arsenal used to do it. They did it with the likes of Van Persie. Even if he doesn't want to stay, you get a fantastic player for a few years, then you sell him on to an even bigger club for an even bigger price. Spurs are masters of this, absolute masters. They've basically been a feeder club for Real for quite some time. They did it with Modric, they did it with Bale. Could they do it again? We're also turning our attention to Manchester United. Liverpool turned round the fortunes of their entire club by breaking the transfer record for a defender on a Dutch centre-half last summer. Could the Red Devils be set to do the same? I'd be very surprised if Matthijs de Ligt goes to Old Trafford. Not because it couldn't happen, but just because I don't see personally why you would choose them over Barca. It's still being suggested that it could be on the cards. What a deal that would be. We'll be asking Dominic Booth of the Manchester Evening News whether it has got legs, and Arsenal as well. Simon Rose, columnist for the Gooner, will be giving his take on Arsenal's next teenage star, if we're believing the rumours. Gabriel Martinelli, the 17-year-old Brazilian striker, is on his way. Is he that good? And is Mesut Ozil out the door? But regular listeners will know that I like to begin this show with a cautionary tale. I like to remind you that not all of these transfer rumours are believable. And I'm going to do that this week with perhaps the biggest rumour of the show. Romelu Lukaku, United's star multi-million pound striker, to Inter Milan. That's being widely reported in the Italian press. Now, Lukaku leaving the club this summer is perfectly realistic. He's been linked with a move away for some time. He's individually been quite open, by the way, about his desire to play in Serie A. That could happen. But if we then relate that to a report in today's Sun that says, listen, Inter is scrabbling around for cash. Inter need to make 40 million quid by the end of the month, or they're going to fail financial fair play rules. That move starts to seem slightly less likely. If you need to make money, and you're already operating at a massive deficit, you are unlikely to go out and spend a reported 60 million quid on a star striker, bearing in mind that the sanctions are serious. First time round, okay, it's a bit of a slap on the wrist. It's a fine, but it's a big fine. And the ultimate punishment, of course, for flouting financial fair play is that you can be kicked out of continental competition. That's the Europa League, and ultimately it's the Champions League as well. The point I'm making here is don't just look at the rumours. Don't just look at the deal. Don't just look even at how long it's being reported. Look at the other factors, because on paper, Lukaku to Inter seems very, very realistic. But come on, the financial situation plays a part as well. Read around, read different papers, see what different people are saying. And actually, I suspect, you know, the Italian press are right. Lukaku probably is off this summer. He probably is off to Italy. He might even be off to Inter, but it's highly unlikely to happen in June. Coming up, we'll be getting the take of Rich Hall, chief correspondent for Football Italia. He'll be letting us know if this move really does have legs.
This is Love Sport.
You're listening to the Transfer Rumour Mill here on Love Sport Radio with me, Johnny Burrow, and I'm delighted to say I'm joined on the line by Rich Hall, who is chief correspondent for Football Italia and Love Sport's very own Italian football correspondent as well. Good evening, Rich. Thanks ever so much for joining me. I've got to start with the big one. We're hearing today in the Italian press that Romelu Lukaku could be on his way to Inter Milan. Do you think that's realistic?
Hi, Johnny. Well, it's certainly possible, but there's certainly going to be a lot of twists and turns with this one because it's not as simple as it first looks. I mean, it looks simple because, first of all, Romelu Lukaku himself is reportedly ready to go with Conte to Inter. Sunning, the owners of Inter, have got out of financial fair play at the moment, so they are allowed to spend some money. And it is looking that whether it's a deal, whether it's a straight cash sum, or I know that Inter have been talking about trying to offload Perisic to Manchester United, even though that deal doesn't seem to be going anywhere anymore since Mourinho left. There's still a chance that Lukaku could go. His agent, Federico Castarello has been saying that he's actually ready to even take a pay cut to go to Inter, and that he was in the stands at San Siro in the last game against Empoli, and this is when that was discussed. The problem is, and this is the big sticking point, Mauro Icardi. Now, obviously, Mauro Icardi is still at Inter. They've had a huge issue this season with him about not signing a new contract. That's part of the reason that Spalletti left the club in the end, because of the way that was handled. And his take and his agent wife, Wanda Nara, is that, well, he's not leaving Milan. That's it. He doesn't want to go. So he doesn't want to go to England. So there's no idea of a swap there. So there's a bit of a problem. It's also likely, I mean, Conte has made it clear that he would like Lukaku and Edin Dzeko, and that Edin Dzeko deal is looking almost done. It should be really sealed in the next couple of days, only about 13.5 million. But the sticking point with, as I said before, with Lukaku is the situation with Mauro Icardi. Now, the only place that his agent and wife, Wanda Nara, has indicated he may go, surprisingly, is Juventus, which has brought the Italian press now to all start talking about a swap between Icardi and Paulo Dybala, which is incredible, wouldn't it, if it happened. I can't see that, to be fair, with the state of relations between the clubs, but that's been in the Italian papers over the last couple of days, so it's looking kind of complicated.
Well, you've brought up a really, really important point there, Rich, which I think a lot of people don't realise, which is how many of these potential transfer deals are dependent on so many other deals. And that Icardi situation is a very complex one. Just update me as to what's going on there, because obviously his relationship with his wife slash agent, as you've correctly called her, is an interesting one. She's the former partner of a former teammate of his. She has children with that former teammate, who I believe now isn't very keen on Icardi, if rumours are to be believed. Icardi was stripped of the captaincy by Inter earlier this year, allegedly for behaviour that may or may not have been linked to his wife slash agent. Is he seen as a bit of a troublemaker?
It's a really strange one. Wanda Nara is the ex-wife of Maxi Lopez, and there has been the scandal many years ago where Icardi ended up taking her off Maxi Lopez, if you would. But setting that aside, since he's been at Inter, the goal ratio that he has is phenomenal, and he's settled down into being just one of the most lethal strikers in Europe. If Wanda Nara was called Mino Raiola, we'd be calling her a genius, because what she keeps doing, and she keeps inserting these release clauses into his contract, knowing that the value of football and the way that football, the money just escalates and escalates. Within 2 years, they're almost null and void, because people can now afford the 100 million that is the release clause. So then they have to renegotiate.
And so keep paying him more per week.
Absolutely. So this is a sticking point with the club. He also, the biggest problem here was she's playing out all these contract negotiations and sending messages through the means of Instagram. It's the most modern sort of, it's a debacle, but it's also a very different thing that Inter aren't used to. So that's where the captaincy went. So at the moment, I mean, they did let him back at the end of the season. He did start to play. He always claims he loves the club and loves Milan. You know, doesn't want to move. While she's the one always going for the move, if you would. So at the moment, there's no new contract on the table, and it really is just watch this space. And now Antonio Conte's come into the mix. I think he's going to want to get this sorted out quite quickly.
So is the message here, because this, I have to say, is fascinating, Rich, because you're the only person I've ever heard give a take of Wanda Nara that she's actually, far from a troublemaker, an exceptional football agent. Is what's going on here, perhaps, that Icardi is happier Inter, and that there therefore won't be any room for Lukaku, because all that's happening is his agent, his wife, Wanda Nara, who's doing a very good job, is, as we see happen in so many cases, playing his current club off against other clubs just to get more money? Is Icardi actually not wanting to go anywhere? He just wants another couple of zeros.
I think so in some respects. I mean, he himself has always said that he enjoys playing the game. He's not really, and he enjoys Milan, he enjoys his family. That's his quote. He's never been one of these players who's always dreamed of playing for Real Madrid, for instance.
He came through at Barca, didn't he? So it might be difficult.
Yeah, that's also true as well. But the interesting thing with this is that the only thing that Wanda Nara is doing that's probably, I think it's just unpalatable the way she's doing things. You know, he turns up in the stands when he's not playing, he's wearing a cap and it's got a message on, whether it's freedom, and, you know, there's always something.
Has he actually worn a cap saying freedom?
Oh, yeah.
Lord above.
He's had many a different message on whatever his T-shirts, etc. So it's not the way a captain of a big club who are very proud of their past, like Inter are, of the old Helenio Herrera and great Catenaccio side of the 60s. It's not how they think they should behave. So you can understand him being stripped of the captaincy. I think that if they were to renew his contract, they would have to just get a bit more savvy, because it's been a PR disaster for Inter, to be fair.
Wonderful stuff. It's sounding, interestingly there, that actually there might not be room at Inter for Lukaku at all. I've just got a couple of deals to check in with you about, Rich. One is that in today's Daily Star, it's being reported that Everton have made a £24 million bid for Roma winger Cengiz Under, who is, of course, the very highly rated 21-year-old Turkish international. Firstly, is he as good as everybody says? And secondly, is 24 million quid enough?
Personally, I don't think so. I know that Everton have also been linked with João Mário from Inter. And if you're talking about a 24 million sum then, so someone like João Mário, who didn't prove himself at Inter, hasn't particularly played well on loan at West Ham, again, has come back and not featured this season, that's more reasonable. Cengiz Under is probably one of the most gifted players at Roma. You know, the way he's come through. Don't get me wrong, he's not perfect. He's inconsistent at times. But when he's on fire, he's brilliant. But he's only very young. He's one of these players who's exceptionally quick, very direct, and he's got a shot on him as well. And I think that, you know, for the like when you think of Roma now and the likes of Cengiz Under and Justin Kluivert, a superb talent, but still need nurturing, still need game time. So, and especially with Roma's situation at the moment, I can't see them wanting to let one of their most prestigious talents go for such a small fee.
I thought we'd be looking at 40 odd million.
Absolutely. Yeah, that would make more sense. It does seem very low.
Right, so possibly got legs to it, that one, but you're going to need to add a little bit of money to your bid. And just a final one for you, Rich. Kieran Trippier could be Sarri's first signing as Juventus boss. Right, okay. So a manager who hasn't left the club yet, hasn't joined a club yet, is going to sign a player who said he's happy at Tottenham. Am I right?
This is a strange one, because there have been links in Italy with this, but it's been to Napoli more than
I've seen
else.
The Napoli links. I've seen the links to Atletico Madrid as well, but Juve is new.
Yes, it would be a surprise, that one in particular, because Juve, their back line does have to go through a little bit of a rejig. Again, you know, it completely depends if it is Sarri who comes in. It would seem a strange move, in fairness. I mean, all the reports, I mean, you guys probably know better than me in England, that Kieran Trippier has been sort of indicating that he doesn't really want to go abroad. But the most serious link from Italy has been Napoli. And that's because their fullbacks, Rui and Heise, are both looking like they're off. So that would make more sense. Whereas Juventus, who knows? You can never say never. When you've got Antonio Conte turning up as manager of Inter, you know, the biggest Juventus staff in the past probably 20 years, anything's possible.
Anything is possible, but that one perhaps slightly less possible than some of the others. Rich, thanks ever so much. You've really, really enlightened me on all of that. Rich Hall there, chief correspondent for Football Italia. And of course, we're very privileged here at Love Sport Radio to have him as our Serie A correspondent as well. The message seems clear. No place possibly for Lukaku at Inter. Trippier could be off to Italy, but hang on a minute. Is it to Juve? It's probably to Napoli. And Everton, maybe you can have Cengiz Under, but up your price. Another 10 million, another 15 million, then we will talk. One team who need to spend money this summer are Tottenham Hotspur. And coming up, is Pochettino going to get the backing? Don't go.
This is Love Sport.
It's the transfer rumour mill here on Love Sport Radio. You're with me, Johnny Burrow. And it's not been the best week for Tottenham Hotspur, but Daniel Levy could go some way towards cheering up those supporters if he gives Pochettino a bit of money to spend. I'm delighted to say that I'm joined on the line by Jamie Brown of Daily Hotspur. Good evening, Jamie. Thank you for joining me. Jamie Brown, of course, also of the Spurs Fan Show, right here on Love Sport Radio every Thursday, 8 till 9. Now, Jamie, firstly, commiserations. And secondly, Is Pochettino going to get the financial backing he needs this summer?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. In my opinion, yes, I do believe that the club are going to go strong. They know they've got something very special here in Pochettino. I don't need to say that, but and I think that they know they've got a very special chance here in that they've just reached the Champions League final. So this is the moment to capitalise, and I don't think they're stupid. I think they will be smart and know that this is the year, this is the moment, and this is the summer when they've got to go big, and especially with all the stuff that Pochettino is coming out with in terms of saying, please back me. I do believe that this is the time that Spurs will go big in the transfer window.
Is this a stick or twist moment for Spurs, Jamie? Because if you don't kick on at this level, are we getting towards a stage of key men leaving and then we're going to see a regression?
Well, it's exactly that. I think this is really the point, and it's such a huge pivotal moment, as I said, because we've just played in the Champions League final. This is the big building block to build upon. We saw Liverpool do it when they went and signed the likes of Fabinho, Naby Keita, Alisson after playing in the Champions League final. And that's, of course, allowed them to go and sign players like that because they saw the ambitions that the club was showing and sort of where they could potentially be. And, of course, they've all gone on and won it this year. So it really has to be a case of capitalising. And look, for me, you know, if they were to say to Pochettino, you know, we're not going to back you. We're not going to be able to give you the funds that you need. Then, you know, you've got to accept that you can't take this squad any further. I can't see us doing what we did again this season in terms of getting in the top four and certainly not reaching a Champions League final.
Well, no, it's thin, isn't it, Jamie? It's not just a case of adding quality, it's adding depth. With that in mind, today's Daily Mirror is linking you to four players, and I'm going to say words I don't often say on this show, which is, I think, all four of these deals have legs. I've got faith that every single one of these is a genuine link. Firstly, we know you've made bids for two players. We'll start with those. Firstly, Giovanni Lo Celso, formerly of PSG, currently at Real Betis, an exciting young Argentine goal-scoring playmaker and also a slightly deeper box-to-box midfield player, Lyon's Tongi and Ndombele. You bid upwards of 50 million quid for Lo Celso, around 70 million if rumours are to be believed on Ndombele. That's not been enough for either of them quite yet. You're going to have to step it up a notch. Daniel Levy is notoriously... Right, okay, the phrase we use is shrewd negotiator. The other word you could use is the man is tight. He's very, very good at his job. He's a shrewd businessman. He doesn't want to spend more than he has to. Are you a bit worried as a Spurs fan that he might not up those bids?
No, I do believe that he will up those bids. I think that those are clearly two players that Pochettino is very keen on. The Celso makes a lot of sense because he's kind of a player that perhaps would replace Eriksen, pretty much the right age at 23.
Do you think Eriksen's going, Jamie?
I do have my concerns. I've always been worried that Eriksen is going. I've always known that he's kind of had this clear plan in his head that he wants to go to Real Madrid. It all depends, and Barcelona as well. It all depends on circumstances. And that's the same with Toby Alderweireld. It's whether there's clubs out there that have a spare £80 million to spend on a player like that. Of course, you know, Barcelona, I'm sure, will go and sign someone else. And Real Madrid, of course, after the likes of Hazard and perhaps other players. So, you know, it's whether they're going to have the sort of cash to bring in Eriksen as well. So it just depends on circumstances.
But on the Spurs front, you think that you will go and bid more for Lo Celso, you'll bid more for Ndombele?
Yes. Yeah, these are two players that Pochettino wants. It seems very clear. As I said, I think Lo Celso seems a very perfect fit for us and perhaps a great replacement for Eriksen if he does go. And Ndombele is just a fantastic player in exactly the position that we need. We certainly need another central midfielder. He's very much like Moussa Dembele, of course, who we haven't yet replaced. So Ndombele, and again, his age, 22, he's a young prospect, but he's also a very talented one. So and we've seen what Pochettino can do with players like that. So Ndombele for me and Lo Celso, those are the two key targets that I'd like Spurs to go after this summer.
Jamie, is it fair of me to look at those two deals and think, you know what, Spurs are a lot more likely to get Lo Celso than Ndombele because even if you bid more for both, as far as I see it, you're the only club in for Lo Celso. So if you meet that Betis release clause, you'll get him. Whereas Lyon, well, if rumours are to be believed, you're fighting Juve, you're fighting Barca, you could even be fighting Real Madrid for Ndombele. That's a bigger ask.
Yeah, no, it is for sure. But look, I think there's a lot to be attracted to Spurs at the moment, of course. Just reached the Champions League final. We've got Champions League football next season again. We've got fantastic new stadium, fantastic new training facilities. So there's a lot to be attracted there. And of course, Mauricio Pochettino. I'm sure there's many players will have seen what he's done with this squad. And I'm sure they'll go and speak to him and see how much ambition that he does have and how talented he is. So I think that there's so many aspects to Tottenham that make us very attractive at the moment. Mm. And as I said, this is the moment Spurs have to capitalise on to really push on now.
Mm. Just finally, you're also being linked with Maxi Gomez and, of course, Fulham's Ryan Sessegnon. I think both of those rumours are realistic. The reason why I say that is because, A, they're Pochettino-style players. B, you've been linked for so long. These rumours aren't going away. I think there has to be something in it. It's not always that simple. In that case, I think it is. I know that you're a fan of both of these players, but I want to ask you more broadly, how encouraging is it for Spurs supporters that all of these players you're being heavily linked to are 23 and under? This is such a well-run football club, and Pochettino and Daniel Levy know exactly what they're doing, not just in terms of potential, but in terms of resale value as well.
Well, it's that, and this is what annoys me about so many supporters, you know, getting on to us that we lost this final. Look, we're a club that does it right, that's going about building ourselves in the best possible way. You can look at Man City and see how much huge amount of money they've spent on players. But for Spurs, you know, we're doing it exactly the right way. We're going and buying these younger players and developing them up. We're not just going and buying the absolute top talent. And to reach a Champions League final is just an incredible achievement from where we've come from. And yeah, I mean, that's what annoys me, is that we're not opposition supporters. They're getting on to us that, you know, because our achievements and how we've got there is just sensational. And yeah, I mean, there's some really top players that have been linked with us this year, and hopefully we can get some done.
Jamie, it's a wonderfully run club and you've got great views on them as well. Lovely to speak to you as ever. Jamie Brown there of the Daily Hotspur and, of course, the Spurs fan show right here on Love Sport Radio every Thursday night from 8 until 9 with me, Johnny Burrow. Coming up, we've got more deals to get our teeth into, and we are moving to the north of England and Manchester United, because football's biggest club never sleeps and neither does the rumour mill. They're being linked to everyone.
This is Love Sport.
You're listening to the Transfer Rumour Mill here on Love Sport Radio. You're with me, Johnny Burrow, and as ever, Manchester United being linked with 53,000 different players this transfer window. I'm delighted to say that I'm joined on the line by Dominic Booth, who is Manchester United writer for the Manchester Evening News. Dominic, I know you've had the dubious pleasure today of analysing every single player Manchester United have been linked with and determining how realistic they are. I've got to ask, how many of them do you think could happen?
Well, evening, Johnny. Yeah, it's been a very dubious pleasure indeed. We got to 60 today, so not quite 53,000, but 60 is more than enough for about three or four match day squads for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. So, yeah, I'm sure you're going to run a few of them by me now. I mean, let's be honest, there's going to be a tenth of those. If they happen, then United fans will probably be happy with that.
Yeah, I think five or six is a realistic and probably ambitious number, actually, but a doable one. I want to start with the defence because, of course, about a year ago, we saw Liverpool break the world transfer record for a defender. And to be honest, there were eyebrows raised. I'm not above admitting that I was amongst those having a bit of a chuckle when they spent £75 million on Virgil van Dijk. But he revolutionised their entire team. He is such a good player. And we're hearing that United are trying the same thing on with the next potentially great Dutch centre-half, the young teenage Ajax captain Matthijs de Ligt. Could this happen?
Well, it seems unlikely given United don't have Champions League football to attract him, but the noises that are being made suggest that de Ligt might actually be open to the idea of moving to United. I mean, it's going to take, as you say, probably a bit in excess of that £75 million Liverpool pay for Virgil van Dijk, but as Liverpool shown, maybe that's worth it. And, you know, De Ligt is still 19 years old, Ajax captain, Champions League semi-finalist, double winner back in Holland. It could happen. I think it will take heaven and earth to make it happen, though.
Well, this is the thing, right? I'm not being sceptical about the player's ability. I'm not actually being sceptical about the potential draw of United, because even without Champions League football, let's be honest, the wages on offer are going to be astronomical. The thing that makes me doubt this one is that Barcelona are interested, and they seem to have been the strongest link. He'd be joining former Ajax teammate, well, technically current Ajax teammate, Frankie de Jong, who's already agreed to go there. Of course, there is that link between Ajax and Barcelona, Johan Cruyff, Total Football, that illustrious history. Isn't he going to want to go there?
I thought that as well, Johnny. And, you know, it still may well be the case that he does end up at Barcelona. Like you say, there's so much pulling in there, but what it might come down to is a case of finances. What we're hearing is that Barcelona have made their final offer, if you believe reports, of the wages they're going to give to De Ligt.
Are we dealing with the take it or leave it scenario?
We might be doing, yeah. But the one thing that complicates everything is that De Ligt is represented by Mina Raiola,
who's
been given a FIFA ban from dealing with transfers at the moment. That doesn't mean to say that someone else can't represent him, but it's a complicated scenario. I can't actually see a resolution until after these Nations League games that Holland are obviously involved with.
Yeah, a tricky one for them to get over the line. I give it, what, a 5.5 out of 10, 6.5, 6 out of 10 for likelihood.
I'd go lower. I'd say 4.5 out of 10, just under 50% chance.
4.5. Okay, so not completely impossible, but not that likely. I've got to ask about Romelu Lukaku. He's someone we talked about already on this show with Rich Hall, who is our Serie A correspondent. Could Lukaku be off to Inter for 60-odd million quid?
Yeah, I would rate this one at a higher percentage of likelihood. I think United might hold out for a bigger fee than 60 million. Having paid upwards of that when they bought Lukaku a couple of years ago. I don't know if Lukaku particularly fits into what Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is trying to do. There's been a few gripes about his fitness, about the fact he's a little bit too bulky. His goal record towards the end of the season wasn't good. So I think if the right offer came in, I think United would probably be willing to let him go to Inter.
Yeah, I think it would be a good move. The only worry is whether Inter have enough money, not in the sense of the coffers, but conforming to financial fair play regulations. There's a report in The Sun today that suggests that certainly before the end of June, they might have a bit of trouble. I now want to move towards the sillier United rumours, right? So we're hearing in The Star that they've offered Adrian Rabiot a mammoth contract. Now, I'm not saying they haven't, but over the past 6 months, because we've known for quite some time that the PSG midfielder will be available on a free, I have seen pretty much every single top club in Europe being linked with offering him a contract. Is there any reason to believe that United actually have?
There's no reason. The only thing I understand about this one is that United have monitored Rabiot and he's on their radar. And like you say, he's probably on the radar of several big clubs because he's a top player. He's been playing for one of Europe's top clubs. United obviously have, well, it's not been confirmed yet, but it seems very likely that Ander Herrera will go to PSG. So whether United might include or try and persuade PSG to make weight Rabiot coming the other way, something like that. The two free transfers, obviously.
Yeah, weird, the suggestion of a make weight where there's no fee. A kind of gentleman's agreement.
What this has echoes of, and United fans will be sweating about this, is the Alexis Sanchez free, which basically took place. And the Mkhitaryan going the other way, of course. But what happened there was United felt compelled to give Sanchez an absolutely gargantuan wage because they were forgoing a transfer fee. Rabiot, we know, has got this sort of enfant terrible bad boy.
Well, I keep saying this, Dom. So it's not him. It's his mum. It's his agent, who I believe is called Veronique, who I think is clearly an absolutely masterful negotiator and also, I suspect, absolutely terrifying.
Yeah, you don't mess with her, I don't think. I actually think that Rabiot might be a shrewd bit of business. He's only 23, but yeah, United have got to be wary not to overpay on these wages.
Okay, so you're saying it could happen, but they're going to have to overpay, aren't they? Because he's free, he's highly rated, so many people are going to be in for him. We see it time and time again with Ramsey's reported £250,000 a week wages at Juventus. When you're free, you then turn around as a player and go, well, you're saving 20 million, so you can put some of that on my balance sheet. A final one for you. Thomas Meunier, another PSG player, 22 million quid. The Daily Mirror today saying that could happen. This would be an exciting signing.
It would be, and it looked like one that may happen because I think United had identified Meunier as an option in case they didn't land their top right-back target, Aaron Wan-Bissaka, because I think Palace are demanding something extortionate for him.
Yeah, I think an entire airport, isn't it, for Wan-Bissaka?
Yeah, something quite outrageous. For admittedly a good player, but, you know, 70 million for a 21-year-old right-back who has not played, you know, that many seasons at the top is a bit outrageous. With Meunier, I think he's come out today and dropped a hint that he might actually be staying at PSG. So there's all sorts of fun and games going on with this one.
Oh, I see. So that's an interesting one. So I've been hearing that this was a case of Arsenal and United being played off against each other. You're saying it actually could not happen at all. Very, very interesting stuff. Dom, wonderful as ever. Really, really interesting stuff. Thank you so much for your time. Dominic Booth, who is Manchester United writer for the Manchester Evening News. Another example for you there, right here on the Transfer Rumour Mill on Love Sport Radio, where we actually get an expert journalist on who's here to cut through the noise, not trying to sell a paper, just having a chat with us. And he's saying, listen, this isn't a case of Arsenal or United. It's not a case of pick one or playing one off against the other. He actually might be happy where he is. It's easy to forget that, isn't it, with all the rumours. Sometimes players can just stay at the same club. Bizarre. Who'd have thought it? One club who will be hoping to prize some players, possibly even Meunier, away from their current employers are Arsenal. And coming up, it's time for a chat with Simon Rose of the Gooner to find out who they should be after.
This is Love Sport.
It's Johnny Burrow here on Love Sport Radio for the Transfer Rumour Mill, and I'm delighted to say that I'm joined on the line by Simon Rose, who's a columnist for the Gooner magazine, of course a big, big Arsenal fan. Simon, good evening. Thanks for joining me. Wilfried Zaha, when he first started slight flirtation away from Crystal Palace, said, listen, I want to play Champions League football. Arsenal fans assumed that that deal would be off after they lost in the Europa League final. But we're hearing reports today from Football.London that actually this deal could be on anyway.
That would be very welcome. I know we spoke last time about Zaha, and personally, I've always rated him. I think he's a wonderful player. I think he's become a lot more astute in how he uses the ball. He's quicker in passing the ball, quicker in crossing it. He's scoring more goals. And to me, I totally understand that he might think he wants to play Champions League football, and therefore that rules out Arsenal at the moment. But on the other hand, he's not really been playing European football at all. It's not like he's been playing Europa League at Palace and now wants to step up. To play any European football would be a step up. And if he wants to come to Arsenal, I think the biggest issue would be more likely to be cost to Arsenal rather than the ambition of the actual European competition, unfortunately.
He is an Arsenal fan, which, of course, will help get it over the line, but you're spot on. What kind of fee do you see them asking for? I've heard silly money.
The thing is, we are in silly season. This is, you know, a short period after the season has ended. And of course, for some teams, it's literally barely ended. Ended a few weeks ago for Palace, so the likes of Zaha will be on holiday, and agents will be pushing all sorts of stories out. All sorts of players will be getting linked to so many clubs left, right and centre. And it's very exciting in some respects for supporters. But you also have to make sure you don't blow with the wind and just think every day of the week there's a different player joining your particular team. Otherwise, it'll end up with about 100 players each. I think with Zaha, I feel it's plausible that the issue, of course, is that Palace would want to try and maximise what they could possibly get. And I suspect they want like a massive fee. They, you know, fees like £100 million. Right, so we want £100 million as well. I think there's a lot of posturing early on, and I think Arsenal, most certainly, lots of clubs, will be biding their time, hoping that doing that will bring fees down.
That's got to be the hope. I think they'll still be looking at, what, 50, probably? I think so.
You hear figures about what Arsenal had to spend. You know, the figure of 40 million has been talked about. No one's really entirely sure what that means. Is that fees that you pay in this window? Is it fees that you oblige yourself to over other windows? Does it include wages? Nobody really knows. And, of course, it depends partly on which players leave Arsenal, not necessarily even for fees. It's about wages that are being saved. You know, Liv Steyn has basically given notice today that he's leaving, which really we knew anyway. So that's wages saved. People talk a lot about Ozil. If he's on £350,000 a week, you could argue that's almost worth three players worth of wages a week. So if Arsenal can claw wages back on people who are leaving, obviously Rams is gone and Welbeck's gone. These are positions Arsenal really need to recruit in. And for me, I very much felt in the season that's just ended, one of the biggest minuses for Arsenal was when we lost Welbeck and we didn't have a third striker, kind of winger option, and Zahar would be perfect for that.
Could be a really good signing. One point that I've made repeatedly on tonight's show is that the extent to which I believe a transfer rumour is very, very closely related to how long that rumour has been around for. And that sounds ridiculous. It sounds overly simplistic. But actually, that is often how it works. If you hear it once and it goes away, or twice and it goes away, or once at the beginning of a window and then once again a few months later, it's probably rubbish. But if you hear it every week for 2 months, there's probably something going on there. And it's now looking that Gabriel Martinelli, the young 17-year-old Brazilian striker, is going to sign for Arsenal for a fee of around £6 million, if reports are to be believed. Do you see him coming? Do you see it as a good signing? And how have Arsenal identified a teenage Brazilian playing for Ituano, who aren't even in the top division in Brazil?
Well, I think that Arsenal fans have seen a lot of young players come to Arsenal that have been heralded as being, a wonder kid. And at times they've got excited about such players and then they've moved to other clubs on loan and you haven't really seen them again. We had Carlos Vela that was supposed to be a wonderful player. Everyone enjoyed his skill, but they didn't really settle. The same with Joel Campbell.
There's a name.
Arsenal had a lot of players who we thought, wow, this could be an interesting guy. And then they had, I can't recall this son of the Japanese chap is at Stuttgart.
Ryo Miyaichi?
I think so. He basically scored lots of goals, but ultimately never really come back to Arsenal. So I think a lot of Arsenal fans would look at this and think, okay, sure, fine.
Let's see what happens.
Ever play for Arsenal? Now, obviously, there's this link of Edu potentially coming back to Arsenal as a sort of technical director, sporting director this summer. The expectation, therefore, is that he's brought a bit of that knowledge along and Arsenal are tapping that market. And it's a great market. Lots of European clubs have bought players from South America and have prospered very well. And really, value is just so unbelievably vital now. Certainly for Arsenal, if you've got less money to work with, although quite where the money's gone, so we have such a small budget, is a big question. But I would say I wouldn't desperately expect this chap to be in the forefront of Arsenal's first team picture. The chances are he'll be farmed out somewhere in Europe.
Well, to be fair, he's gone on trial to Barcelona in the past. United have been linked. There's probably something there. But as you're wise to point out, let's just temper expectations, because with these kids, they're so, so young that, okay, you're going to get the odd superstar, the odd Kylian Mbappe. But it is very, very hard to know how good they're going to be. Talking of players who you have no clue how good they're going to be, I like to think I'm quite tuned in to the transfer market. I know quite a lot about European football, and yet Arsenal today are being linked with a player I know almost nothing about. He's a striker for Leganés called Youssef El Nassiri. Do you know anything about him? Have you seen these links?
I've heard the links, I sort of put in the bracket of so many others that are being linked at the moment. You tend to find, particularly now, literally we're just in June, that the player names you get linked with, they sort of change every other day or so. And that's the thing where I think as a fan you've got to try and sort of temper your own sort of excitement, thinking, oh my God, we're going to sign someone, to kind of think, you know what, I'm not going to blow with the wind of which player happens to get linked one day to the next, because you're going to get your hopes too high. And also at times you're going to get your feelings sort of hurt, because I've seen reports today suggesting that Barcelona and Bayern Munich want Lacazette or Aubameyang.
There's been quite a lot of that.
At certain points you think, I don't know, that's not going to happen because, you know, he's happy at the club or that kind of thing. But then you think, well, let's get unsettled. Apparently Inter Milan want Lacazette. And it's like, well, you know what? Yeah, I suspect they possibly would like Lacazette. But then lots of these clubs like lots of these players because they all get seen and the Premier League is watched a lot. I just think there's so much easy speculation at the moment. And like you say, what you almost have to look at as a supporter is there a trend here? Is there a player who's been linked mostly to one particular club? Does it feel like an Arsenal kind of signing? Your fans of any club can say it in the same way. Does it feel like a signing for my club? I just think with Arsenal, we know beyond the needs of developing the squad and the team, we lost that. We lost Ramsey, that centre midfield we need to do something about. We've lost Welbeck since, you know, October, whenever it was. A wide wing, a striker type. That's two players. We know that central defensively, we're a mess. Chambers potentially could come back. I know some Arsenal fans think we should sell him. Fulham fans enjoyed him at Fulham. You could say maybe levels. Maybe he's not good enough for us as such. But he's a player we've already got. We haven't got to pay money out for him. He had a very good pre-season last year. The full-backs, we know a bit of an issue. Monreal and Kolasinac. I like them, but I don't know if they're going to take us forward.
Do you find it odd?
You're going to be back and fit. There's lots of holes.
Given that left-back has been more of a problem than right-back for Arsenal, do you find it odd that today the club are being linked with Thomas Meunier, the Belgium and PSG right wing-back, but no obvious left-backs?
I think it's a bit of an issue. I suppose it's always this tricky thing of when a manager appears to be clear they want a particular player, and I like to feel, well, we must have an idea of how we'd use this player. We wouldn't want somebody else. We want this guy. But, you know, Meunier, obviously a player we've all seen a lot. But I just sort of wonder, well, if there's a versatility there to play either flank, that could be good. Obviously losing Lichtsteiner. I don't feel, and obviously it depends partly how much they feel that Bellerin will be ready next season and when. Mate, the Niles have done really, really well this season. I'm still not entirely sure he's a defender. I think he looked more alive for me when he's played in central midfield. But, you know, defensive mindset and positional awareness gets improved over time. I remember when Ashley Cole started playing for Arsenal, he didn't know if he should keep wide or get close to Tony Adams, and it took him time to work out where to put himself. I just think if Emery particularly wants Meunier, okay, fine, with the manager, you know, he has to stand his own 2 feet now, Emery. And this is where we have this bit of a dilemma between Arsenal fans of, is Emery the man to take Arsenal forward? It feels a bit harsh to say that, partly because Arsenal have been used to having one manager for like 22 years. And all the other clubs, you know, constantly changing managers. We've had a new manager for 1 year, and suddenly we're in this kind of position of, well, he didn't get us Champions League football through two routes. Do we have to stick with him? Are there other managers? Well, there are, but we haven't got a lot of money necessarily to entice with it in terms of a budget.
Would you stick or twist on Emery? Because I had the Arsenal fan show in from 7 till 8 tonight, from 8 till 9, I should say, as I do every Monday. And we were asking this question, should Emery stay? Should he be sacked? Because some Arsenal fans, after the Europa League final, were saying on Twitter, it's time to go. And we all agreed that it's complete nonsense to get rid of him after a year. Where do you stand on that?
I think ultimately, I've got no real interest in him going. I think he's got, as I understand it, this three-year deal where after 2 years, they can make the break. So obviously, we've only had one season so far. The only thing that comes to my mind is that I'd felt from quite a while ago that Allegri would have been marvellous for Arsenal. Of course, that didn't happen last summer. He didn't leave Juventus, but suddenly he has now. That's not so much a case of, well, if we decide we want him, that therefore he is ours, because, of course, he's just won the league 5 years in a row at Juventus. What do you need Arsenal for? You know, we're not at that level, and we're not going to spend massive amounts of money. So I suspect he wouldn't come. The only sort of twitch, if you like, for me is, if he would come, do Arsenal have to do this thing of, well, we respect the current manager and he's got a contract because we're so used to doing that? Or do we think, well, actually, lots of clubs have changed managers loads and frankly, they've been successful doing it. It's a bit of a strange position because it doesn't sit easily with me to say, let's move this manager out and get a different guy in because, of course, there's no guarantee to keep chopping and changing around. It's a dilemma. I just think, fundamentally, Arsenal will not be paying out the money to get rid of Emery and his backroom staff a year after doing the same for Wenger. I think they're basically all in on Emery at the moment. If Edu comes in, they've got the kind of the backroom set up that's sort of slowly sort of fitted into place. I don't think Arsenal will get rid of him. And really, he's now got to achieve. I think one thing for me last season that sat uncomfortably with me was that a lot of the time Emery at the sidelines kind of had this sort of grimace on his face and a look of sort of bemusement about what was happening on the pitch. I think you get away with that in your first season when they sort of aren't your players type of thing.
But after a year, you need to know what's going on. It has to be your team.
Once you bring in people over the summer, I don't want to see that grimace on his face next year because
he'll
have had time to work on that.
Simon, you're absolutely spot on. Lovely to speak to you. And that's it.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.